Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa. Today, we're diving into a fascinating topic, scaffolding and fading support in education. It's all about how we, as teachers, can help learners move from relying on guidance to becoming independent thinkers and doers.
Exactly. Think of scaffolding as training wheels. You provide some support initially to help the learner achieve more than they could on their own, and then, over time, you gradually remove those supports so they can ride, or learn, independently.
That's a great analogy. And in a competence-focused curriculum, this process is crucial. The goal isn't for students to just mimic what the teacher shows them, but to develop real skills they can apply in different contexts.
Right. Today, we'll break this down into manageable steps and offer practical strategies that teachers can use in their classrooms. Let's start with the basics. Lisa, what exactly is scaffolding?
Scaffolding refers to the temporary supports we provide to help learners operate within what's called their zone of proximal development. This is a concept from Vygotsky, which basically means the sweet spot between what a learner can do on their own and what they can achieve with some help.
Ah, so it's like giving them a boost to reach that next level. And fading, then, is when you start to remove those supports once they've developed the competence to manage on their own, correct?
Exactly. The fading process needs to be planned and deliberate. You don't just yank the scaffolds away one day. You gradually reduce them while assessing the learner's readiness through formative assessments.
So, what are some examples of scaffolds a teacher might use?
There are so many. For instance, instructional modeling is a big one. This could be a teacher solving a problem while thinking aloud to show their thought process, or providing worked examples where key decision points are highlighted.
I love that method, especially with complex tasks. It really helps students see the why behind each step. What about tools like graphic organizers?
Absolutely. Graphic organizers, like concept maps or Venn diagrams, are fantastic cognitive tools. They help students visualize the relationships between ideas. You can also use sentence starters, question stems, or checklists to guide their thinking.
And procedural prompts too, right? Like step-by-step guides or templates for writing an essay or solving a maths problem.
Spot on. There are also environmental scaffolds, like assigning roles in group work, roles like recorder, summarizer, or checker. These help structure collaboration and ensure everyone contributes.
I've seen that work wonders in classrooms. Pairing novices with more experienced peers is another great strategy, sort of like social scaffolding.
Yes, and it ties into social constructivism, which emphasizes that learning is often a social process. Then there's feedback scaffolding, where you give frequent, specific feedback that focuses on growth rather than just grading.
Okay, so we've got these scaffolds in place. But how do we know when to start fading them?
Great question. You look for signs that students are ready. For example, if they perform a task correctly multiple times, use internal strategies like self-talk or checklists, or if they start needing less time and fewer hints to complete tasks, it's time to fade.
And what if you fade too quickly? Are there warning signs to watch for?
Definitely. If students start making more mistakes, show frustration, or lose confidence, you may have pulled back the supports too soon. In that case, you can temporarily restore some scaffolding, give targeted feedback, and then fade more gradually.
It's a delicate balance, isn't it? You don't want to over-scaffold either, because then students might never develop independence.
Exactly. Over-scaffolding can lead to reliance, where students wait for the teacher to guide them through every step. That's why formative assessments are so important. They act as your GPS to tell you when to adjust support.
Speaking of assessments, what are some quick ways teachers can check where their students stand?
You could use entrance quizzes, KWL charts, or even a short discussion. Concept maps and one-minute papers are also effective. These give you a snapshot of what students already know and what they're struggling with.
And based on that, you can group students by need, right? Not to label them, but to tailor the level of scaffolding for each group.
Exactly. For students with low prior knowledge, start with concrete experiences and heavy modelling. For those with medium knowledge, guided practice and collaborative tasks work well. And for high prior knowledge students, challenge them with transfer tasks and reduce modeling early.
So it's about meeting students where they are and gradually helping them move forward. I love that. Let's talk about a practical example, say, a middle school science lesson.
Sure. Imagine a lesson on interpreting graphs. You'd start with a quick diagnostic, like a 2-minute quiz, to see what students already know. Then, you'd model how to read a graph, talking through the axes, trends, and anomalies.
And after the modeling phase?
Next, you'd provide a graphic organizer with prompts like what does the x-axis measure? Or what trend do you see? During guided practice, the class works on a new graph together with the teacher circulating to ask guiding questions.
I'm guessing peer scaffolding comes next, students working in pairs or groups.
Exactly. They could analyze another graph in pairs, with one student as the reader and the other as the reporter. Finally, students work independently on a fourth graph and explain their findings in writing.
And the fading part?
For the transfer phase, you might give them a similar task in another subject, like using graph interpretation skills in a technology class. Gradually, you'd remove the graphic organizer and replace it with a simple checklist, and eventually, nothing at all.
That's such a clear progression. It's basically the gradual release of responsibility model. I do, we do, you do.
Exactly. It's a reliable framework that works across subjects and grade levels.
Well, this has been such an insightful conversation. Scaffolding and fading may take some planning, but the payoff, helping students become independent learners, is so worth it.
Absolutely. And if there's one takeaway for teachers, it's this: always aim for transfer. If students can't apply what they've learned in new contexts, repeat the cycle with a different approach.
Great advice, Lisa. Thanks for sharing all these tips. We hope today's episode has given our listeners practical tools to try out in their classrooms.